We have looked at a number of scriptures tonight, and you will have realized already that I want to give some thoughts on the things that we have read together concerning John Baptist. When we were here remembering the Lord last Lord's Day, a number of brethren made reference to John Baptist. And I was thinking upon the things that we had considered as we remembered the Lord, and I felt constrained to speak upon them tonight. Now, we're not going to do a complete study. We would have needed to read a lot more scriptures for us to do that. That is not the purpose tonight. But I just want to think of our lives living for God in the days in which we live. Sometimes we think that life is so difficult, and maybe it is. Our problems are real. The difficulties that we face in the world, the opposition that we face, they are real. But sometimes we think that our situation is unique. People say to me, Alan, people are not interested in the gospel today. They're not interested in the gospel today. We're living in dark days. We're living in the day of small things. We're living in the day when people don't want to know. And that might be true. But I say to them, what was it like in the Lord's day? We didn't read that verse tonight, did we? We couldn't read them all. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. It was like that in the Lord's day. We've been going through with the children. Noah's day. There were only 8 saved, and he was one of the 8. So you see, we mustn't think that our day, although it is difficult, and although it is hard, that it is beyond God, because it is not. And here was days when there were difficult days. But there was that little remnant, and we read of those, a couple of them there. We read of a godly couple, a couple who lived for God. And if there's one thing we want to encourage our hearts tonight, is to live for God. And to go on living for God. It's lovely to be here tonight to see such a vast age range. It's good to see that because we've got some that are older. Maybe older in the faith, maybe just older in the flesh. We've got some that have not long been married. Young couples, together. Lives living for God. Great. Those that have brought up children and have families. Those that are on to the grandparent stage. And we've got different things. Living for God. And how important it is that we help and we encourage each other in these days to live for God. Here upon this scene, there was Zacharias and Elizabeth. There was Simeon, of course. And there was Anna, there was Mary, and there was Joseph. And there were those who were there, those that had an interest in the things of God, who were looking for God to work. They were looking. And we have that today. And I want to just encourage our hearts, because God always has a purpose. He has a purpose. He has a purpose for your life, and he has a purpose for my life. And here was a man who was born to this couple. Outside we would have said, well, you know, it is so sad for that couple. Look at the age they are now, and there has been no children. The situation looked desperate. She is described, of course, as being barren, and that was the case. But God had a purpose in the lives of this godly couple that the Old Testament foretold. Oh, there are not that many in the New Testament that their lives are told in the Old Testament. There are a number. And here was one where his life was already mapped out. And this person would come onto the scene and be something for God. You know, when I come to children's meetings like this, and I think I said it the very first time I was here, there was a little lad, and I still remember him. I don't know where he is, I don't know what age he is, but I think 2004 it was, and they called him Pee-wee. Pee-wee. I don't know where he is now. I don't know. You know, I think he was with the service people, his family. But you know, I remember him, and I thought about him. You see, among these children here, you know, sometimes we say, oh, well, they're only children, you know. And we realise, children, you know, you can do anything. If I said to children, who loves the Lord Jesus? They'd all put their hands up. Who wants to go to heaven? They'd all put their hands up. Well, we don't do things like that. Not a work of man, it's a work of God we want. But you know, that doesn't mean that when I see them children, I see something for God. And you know, there was that little lad, his name's gone from me at the minute, 4-year-old, or is it 5, 4. And he answered some questions. I thought, the seed is there. The seed is there. There's potential for something for God. Oh, that's what we want, isn't it? Something for God. But it's not just about the young children. What about our lives? How are we doing? Are we growing? Are we growing in our spiritual life? Or have we settled down? I was in retail for many years. You know, it's still in. I mean, I was taking boxes off Tesco's shelves today because they were empty. It's just there, you know. I was taking them off because they were empty. I thought, that's no good. And I straightened up the bar of the galaxy. And, you know, just can't help it. You see, retail. And one of the things we did was take stock. We took stock. Stock taking. Dreadful time. But I wonder, do you ever take spiritual stock? You know, spiritual talk. I'm 42 years a believer in July 24. I'm 42 years a believer. Am I what I ought to be? Or am I undernourished? Now, I know physically I'm not undernourished. But am I undernourished spiritually? Spiritually, am I where I should be? Oh, I can see how that person's doing. And they could do a little bit better than what they're doing. And I can see how that person's doing. But what about me? What about me? Am I as I should be? Do I have the love for the Word of God that I had when I first got saved? Do I have the joy of the gospel? Or do I say, well, you're wasting your time. There's no point, is there? Nobody wants to know. Nobody's interested. We'll open the doors. We won't ask anybody. We've done our responsibility. I hear that all the time. But there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. And here was a couple. Here were lives that were living for God. A godly couple. A godly couple. Yes, they had their problems. Yes, and so have we. But there were a couple that were living for God. And it's lovely to see young couples have been encouraged to see that. To see young couples, maybe not married long. Other young couples with just little children. Other couples with children growing up. And seeing the children over the years growing up. Ollie now way off. Yeah. Saying to Pauline when we got out the car, I said, I remember standing here. And they were just like that, the two of them, on my first visit. You know. And I've still got the same coat. Yeah. Standing here. Standing here. But they've grown. But it's good to see they haven't just grown physically. Hearing of those getting saved. Hearing of those getting baptized. Going on in the things of God. But us older ones, we think sometimes, well, you know, I've got there, haven't I? So if we say, well, when was the last time you obeyed the word of God? And you say, oh, well, you know, I obeyed because I turned from my sin. I repented. I believed that the Lord Jesus had done everything. I looked to him. I'm saved. I got baptized. I'm in the local assembly. Is that it? Are you going on? Do you have that desire for the things of God? Are you here tonight because, well, it's Thursday night? You know, when I was, one assembly we were in, a godly man. If I wasn't at that meeting, if we weren't at the meeting, by 9 o'clock we'd have had a phone call. Didn't come on shouting at us. It was care. That's what it was. We should be there. We would be there. They're missing. There must be a problem. On the phone. Always we knew the phone would ring. And it rang. And for whatever reason it was. Car didn't work. Whatever it was. Care. To see us grow. How important that is. How important it is in the assembly life. And here was this couple, their names were down, their characters. You see, it records how they lived. They were righteous. They were walking before the Lord. They lived those lives that were blameless. They were seeking to live lives for God. I was reading an account today of somebody's life. And, you know, I've often thought, what would the believers write about me? I wonder, it's a sober thought, isn't it? What would they write about you? What would they write? What would they write about me? Oh, that Alan Barber, eh? What a fella he is. I'm not writing it, you write it. You see? Yes, we can smile, but you know, it is a serious thing, isn't it? What would they write? Would they say what a help that brother is in the assembly? What a help and a joy he is. You know, you ask him something, he never moans. What a dear sister that is, always visiting the sick, always ready to help. What a real joy. Or what would they say? Oh, don't ask me about him. Oh, dear. What would they say? Somebody who's pulling together, somebody who's working together, somebody who's trying to work together for the glory of God, the honour of the Lord's name, keeping the assembly together. What are we doing? Are we pulling together? Are we building up? What would this say about us? Well, it's recorded about them. They walked in the ways of the Lord. Oh, isn't that good? Is that what they say about me? Is that what they say about you? They walk in the ways of the Lord. We've got two sisters in the meeting at home. Two single sisters in the flesh. The sisters in the flesh and sisters in the Lord. And we have two of them. And you know, they're great at bringing people. And I said to them the other week, I said, you know, thank you so much. They said, what are you thanking us for, Alan? I said, you must have a very good testimony. These people you bring along. Oh, it's nothing. I said, it isn't nothing. It's something. It's something. I had a lady at the meeting last Lord's Day. Last Lord's Day. First time. Never been before this lady. One of the boys reporting back said, oh, the speaker wasn't on top form, Dad. He says, you know something? I said, what? Both those sisters said the same thing. You know why they said that? Because they had somebody there, they wanted to hear the gospel. We haven't got time for messing about. People's souls are in danger. And he said that the good thing was, they knew it as well. You see, not everybody would have known it. Some would have thought that was okay. But it wasn't okay. We don't mess about. Important message. And this man who grew up, and we know who he is, and I'm not really going through all the details tonight. We know about him. He grew. The scripture said he was the one who would prepare the way of the Lord. What a mission. What a service. What a responsibility that was his. And what a privilege to point others to Christ. What a privilege. And you notice his preaching. There was no compromise with his preaching. He was fearless. He spoke the truth. He spoke the word of God. And sometimes it takes boldness. And it took boldness. He rebuked them of their sins. He preached repentance. He pointed to the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. He warned of coming judgment. Or today people say, you know, we just want a nice message, you know. We just want a nice message. We don't really want too much of this business, you know, of hell. You know. Talk about the love of God. Talk about these things. But, you know, I hear that. I hear that in the Northeast. And we don't want, you know, to say things that are going to offend people. We're not seeking to offend anybody. We're seeking to be faithful to God and faithful to His Word. We have prayed tonight, and rightly so, for those who have serious illness. And I know people that, different people that maybe you would know, with these illnesses. And I often say to believers, look, if you knew the answer to these things, would you just keep quiet about it? Would you say, well, we don't want to upset them, so we'll not tell them? Of course you wouldn't. If you knew the answer to these things, of cancer and other things, you'd share it with everybody. Of course you would. And God has given us the gospel to proclaim. But this lovely couple, yes, there was unbelief there with Zacharias. And you can compare his attitude to Mary's attitude, but we really haven't got time that tonight. You see their home, but then you see their joy, the joy at this news. The joy at this news. Zacharias, of course, he was dumb, wasn't he? Because of his unbelief. Because of his unbelief, he was dumb. Now, I'm not going to go on the usual tactic and, you know, start going on about dumb priests and all this business. But I would say this, in a nice way. I would say this. It is always good to hear all the brethren in the assembly take their place. When our sons were coming into fellowship, I told them, I don't want you to get up in the flesh, but when you come into assembly fellowship, we will expect you to pray in the prayer meeting. We will expect you to give your worship in the remembrance of the Lord. What do you think about the position of sisters? And they told us what they thought. I said, well, rightly so. If there was three sisters and you two, what do you think they're going to do? They're to be silent, not you. Now, that doesn't mean that we haven't got, you know, we get up in the flesh. And I don't know the situation here, so I can speak freely. But I would just say to you tonight that, you know, brother, it really, what we are doing at home is what we should be doing. And it is a wonder to think, well, if you can speak to the Lord at home, then surely you can speak to Him on a Lord's Day morning. If you are giving thanks to God for His Son every day, then that's what you do on the Lord's Day morning. You don't have to be like the other brethren. You don't have to come with a prayer from Genesis to Revelation. But you've got to give appreciation of Christ. And you know something, when you do, if the saints are what they should be, they'll be thrilled to bits. Yes, it might be nervous. I know somebody close to us, many, many years a Christian, and yet the man's never, ever opened his mouth. And that's sad. I don't condemn him. He has nervous problems with it. But we must be able just to thank God for His Son, even if it's a few words and sit down again. So I encourage you tonight. I don't know the situation here, and I didn't really intend to say that, so I don't know. But we just leave that with you. So we're not going to come heavy and start rambling on about dumb priests. But you know, the sisters have a position, and the brethren have a position, and we should be trying to do that. Doesn't mean that we come and we're in the flesh and we're up and down like yo-yos. But we should have that exercise. And so we were. But then we see how, when the boy is born, and we see of John Baptist when he's born. And of course, the relatives and the family. Well, you know, in my experience, families can cause a lot of bother in assemblies. We don't keep any family line. We do what's right before the Word of God. And we must all seek to do that. It's not about family. We are brothers and sisters with every other brother and sister just the same. Families. The family were there. Oh, wait a minute. John? No. No John in our family. No John in our family. We're not having this. And the family line comes in. I tell you, I've witnessed many a thing over the years with a family line. Awful. Suddenly the scriptures are different because it affects the family. We can't be like that. Elizabeth, his name shall be called John. And when Zacharias agrees, oh, tongue is loose, and he's able to speak forth. But then, of course, they were given that message, weren't they? That he would be great in the sight of the Lord. They were told the promise. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Oh, what a promise was given. The prohibition was there too. No wine, no strong drink. There are many things that can lead us astray. That wasn't the reason, particularly here, this was the thing that was to do. But in our day, people say to me, well, is this all right and is that all right? You know, and the general line is, there's no harm in it. And I say to them, is there any good in it? You see, there might be no harm in it. It seems all right. Well, they do it. And they do it. And they do it. And that's why we've got to be careful. What do people see in my life? Is it consistent with what I'm saying tonight? Or can they say, well, he does it. So it must be all right if he does it. And even though they shouldn't use an individual as an excuse, we shouldn't be giving them the use of it. Yes, no wine, no strong drink was the prohibition to him there. But the provision too, he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And at the end of chapter 1 we read, the child grew. The child grew. It's good to see growth, isn't it? It's good to see development. And that's what those in the elders of the assembly, that's what they're looking for, to see development. And difficulties it is. And it is difficult in an assembly. It is difficult. And sometimes there are difficult things, and we need to pray, and we need to remember those that have responsibilities. It is important. And so it is, and we need to respect them for their work's sake. There was a man that came to me once, and he said to me, I think I should be an elder in the assembly. I said, oh, do you? I says, and why do you think that? Well, I'm 50 now. You know, 50 now, got a bit of experience. I says, well, so we looked at the scriptures, you see, and he showed me Timothy there, Phenimon desireth, and I desire. I says, well, would you like me to sit down there and I'll pull your teeth out? Any problems with your teeth, I'll pull them out. No way am I going to let you do that. Why is that? Because you're not qualified. I says, you look at the scriptures and think again. You see, if we're not qualified, it isn't a position, it isn't a board of directors, it's a work. It's a work. And it's not a very nice work at times, but it's a work. It isn't a nice. I was looking today and the name Geoffrey Harrison came up in this book. And I remember him talking about elders. You know what he said? I thought it was funny. He said, I think they should have medals. You know what he said? As big as frying pans. That's what he said. As big as frying pans. I know why. Because there are sleepless nights. And there's, you know, I'm in trouble again. And I said to Pauline, she'll tell you. I said to Pauline, am I arrogant? Do I come across as bossy? Do I come across as... Because I wouldn't like to think I was. Am I really how sometimes I'm described? And she usually says no. But she'd tell me if I was. So I think, well, can't be me then. But you see, it's difficult, yes. Assembly life is difficult. But we need each other. And we need those that God have raised up, and we need to esteem them. There's a dear brother that we both miss very, very much. A godly man, the man I told you about earlier, he would have rung us up. You know, when I was unwell, he and his wife, they came to the house, they says to me, come on you, you're coming to our house for a few days. Give Pauline a rest from you. And while I was there, a dear sister was ill in hospital. They went to the hospital. When they got back, she'd been called home in the middle of the night. So they went back to the person's house. He was doing the work. That's what he was doing. shepherding the flock, caring for them, feeding for them, looking after them. And we held him in high esteem because we could see his love and his care. We need that. And here was John. He comes on the scene. The man who was sent from God. There's a man who was sent from God, and his name is John. Oh, think of that. Sent from God. Sent from God. He comes onto that scene, and those religious people, they sent the people to John. Are you the one that we're looking for? Are you the one? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? No, he says. I'm not. I'm not Elias. I'm not Elijah. No. I'm not the Christ. I'm not that prophet. Who are you? Oh, imagine that, eh? Sometimes when I go into schools, without anything I do, I get called all sorts of names. I get titles that are not mine, because the people think that's the kind of title I've probably got. I'm not going to mention it if it's on tape, but I get these titles. You know, I came out of a gospel meeting and this man called me father. I said, oh, you don't call any man father, scripture says. You know, these titles. But you know, I could say, hey, doesn't that sound nice, eh? Doesn't that sound nice, eh? The so-and-so barber. Wow. Eh? You know, doesn't it sound nice? You know what John says? He says, who are you? Who are you? He could have said, well, I'm one of the top men you're ever going to know. It was true, wasn't it, really? But he says what the scripture says. I am the voice. He doesn't say, I am the man. He says, I am the voice. He's a voice. Oh, the humility of this servant of God. I am the voice crying in the wilderness. Make straight the ways of the Lord. I am the voice. That's humility. That was what his purpose was. He didn't want to be anything that God didn't want him to be. He knew what he had to do, and he lived it to the full. Isn't that it, to be what God wants us to be? Yes, your gift may not be my gift. My gift may not be your gift. But together we know our gift and we need each other. That's what the body is, isn't it? It needs each other. That's what the assembly is. We are all needed. And we have our places. And the things that we have to do, and what you do, what God has given you to do, do it with all your might. Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Whatever God's given you, do it. Don't you try to be them, because you're not them. Don't try to be me, because you're not me. And I won't try to be you. Be what God wants you to be. And live for God. Oh, that's a challenge, isn't it? And hear what lovely words. I am the man. I am the voice. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. He pointed to the Saviour as the Lamb of God. Oh, it's good to point to the Saviour, isn't it? It's good to point to the Saviour. Now, we haven't got time tonight to go into all these things, because I've touched on things that I didn't intend to. But they have been given to us tonight. But I want to come to a conclusion, as time is going, with the last chapter. We could have looked, of course, he must increase. Very important, that is. He must increase and self must decrease. That is why that I came off Facebook. Now, I know that's often mentioned today, and I'm not going to go through it all again. But I went on it to see what it was all about. So now I can say it because I've been on it. And it may be, I know people that can use it and they give texts and all this. But personally, I found that all it did was increase self in me. And that is no good. So I came off it. I have always had very rules about certain things. I don't send out prayer letters. I send out itineraries. I don't go shouting about from north to south and east to west. But I was starting to do it on there. And I thought, what are you doing here? Stop it and get off. didn't need to tell the whole world. And I'll just leave that with you. You can make your own minds up. But John here in chapter 10, we have this lovely bit, and I love this verse. I've written down in my Bible here, mission accomplished. That's what I've wrote. Mission accomplished. Because what does it say here? The Lord Jesus, and many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Now you see why I've put mission accomplished. Wasn't that John's purpose for his life? Wasn't that his purpose? He had come not to speak of himself, not to point to himself. He had come to point to the one who would come. He had come to prepare the way of the Lord. He was to point to Christ, and that's what he did. What did the people say? They said, John didn't do any miracle. No spectacular events. John did no miracle. But all things he spake of this man. That was it. They are true. And many believed on him there. They believed on the Lord. Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I know tonight maybe we've been a bit unconventional, that's just how I am. But we trust that the thoughts that we've had tonight, that they might have stirred us up to live our lives for God, to live our lives for him. He gave himself for me. Am I giving myself to him? Only one life. Maybe in the home, bringing up the children. Maybe children yet to come. Teaching them the good word of God. Building them up in the things of God. The world outside, with all its dangers, with all its attractions. But to teach them the scriptures. What a privilege that is. What a lovely thing it is to hear and see mothers and grandmothers, and others too, that teach the children, preserve them, look after them, care for them. So needed in this day. May the Lord help us to live for him in these days. Not to say, well, these are difficult days. There's nothing can be done. But to surrender ourselves to the Lord and look to him for daily strength and help in time of need. Shall we pray?